Welcome back to the Curtis Research Audio Archive.
Good to be back.
Today, we're really trying to get a handle on a fundamental question.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly was Kurdag before 2010?
Yeah, geographically speaking.
Exactly. We'll be looking through the historical sources you shared to try and figure out its boundaries, you know, the cities, the towns within it.
The goal is really to get a clear picture of the region as it was then, before all the major changes.
Okay, so where do we start? There's often confusion about the name itself, isn't there?
There absolutely is, and it's vital right at the outset to distinguish the Kurd Dag we're focusing on from Jabal al-Akrad.
Right. Both mean Mountain of the Kurds.
Precisely. So our Kurd Dag is mainly in what was the Afrin district of Syria's Aleppo governorate, and it does kind of spill over into Turkey's Kilis province.
Okay, Aleppo-Kilis area.
Yeah, and geographically, it's part of the Limestone Massif, sort of a southern bit of the Aintab Plateau.
And the other one. Jabal al-Akrad.
That's over in Latakia Governorate, much closer to the coast. It's part of the Syrian coastal mountain range near Idlib. Totally different geography, more chalky terrain.
Ah, okay. So limestone inland versus chalk near the coast.
Got it. Exactly. And this difference was, well, it was reflected in the administration too, especially before 2010.
How so?
Kurd Dag, our focus, pretty much lined up with the Afrin district in Aleppo. Jabal al-Akrad, though, was mostly in the al-Hafa district of Latakia, places like Kinsaba, and also some bits of the Jizr al-Shugur district in Idlib.
So distinct administrative areas as well.
Definitely.
And what about the Kurdish identity? Was it strong in both places?
That's where it gets interesting. Kurd Dag, the Afrin one, kept a really strong Kurmanji Kurdish identity.
Okay.
But Jabal al-Akrad, even though it likely had Kurdish origins, maybe from Mamluk or Ottoman settlements, you know, it went through a pretty significant process of Arabization over the centuries.
Arabization, so less Kurdish spoken, culturally different.
Yeah, the dominant language and culture shifted, even though the name Mountain of the Kurds kind of stuck around.
Okay, that distinction is really important. So let's zoom in on our Kurd Dag, the Aleppo-Kilis one. Geographically, where exactly are we talking about?
Right, we're looking at that border zone, northwest Syria, southeast Turkey. If you want coordinates, it's roughly centered around 36 degrees 40 north, 36 degrees 46 east, just as a general marker.
And the landscape. You said highland.
Yeah, it's highland terrain, part of that limestone massif, like I said, a southern extension of the Aintab Plateau. Elevations are somewhere between 700 and maybe 1,260 meters. It's actually noted as the only really significantly populated mountain area inside Syria.
Interesting. What about the edges? Were there natural borders like rivers or mountains?
Yes, definitely. Nature kind of defined it. To the east and south, you've got the Afrin River Valley. That forms a pretty clear line separating it from the Plain of Azaz, Mount Simeon, Mount Haram.
Okay, Afrin River on the east and south.
Then, on the west, there's the Aswad River Valley, also called the Karasu, that separates it from Mount Amanus, the Nur Mountains.
Right.
And to the north, well, it doesn't really stop naturally. The highland just continues right up into Turkey's Kilis province. It's linked directly to the Aintab Plateau.
Ah, so that 1923 border cut right through this connected highland region.
Exactly. It wasn't just a line on a map. It physically divided a geographical unit, and for many people, a social and economic one, too.
Makes sense. Okay, let's rewind a bit. Ottoman era, say 1516 to 1918. How did they administer this area?
So during the Ottoman period, Kurd Dag was considered part of the wider vilayet of Aleppo.
The Aleppo province, basically.
Right. And Ottoman documents actually use the name Kurd Dag, so they clearly acknowledge the Kurdish presence. There's even evidence from the 18th century of something called the Sancak of the Kurds.
A Sancak? What's that, like a district?
Yeah, a subdivision of a vilayet. Maybe later that evolved into the Kaza of Kurd Dag, an even smaller unit. And Kilis, the city just north of the modern border, was a really important administrative and economic center for that whole area back then.
But finding precise Ottoman maps of these Kazas or Sancaks is hard, based on our sources.
It is. The detailed maps showing those exact boundaries, well, they aren't readily available in the sources we looked at. So we have to infer the general setup from text references and how we know the Ottoman system usually worked.
Okay, now let's jump forward to the French Mandate, 1920 to 1946. What happened then?
Well, under the French, it got more formalized. They actually set up the Kaza of Kurd Dag within the state of Aleppo, which was one of those entities the French created.
And they used the name Kurd Dag.
They often used the French version, Jebel Kurd. But the biggest change was that 1923 border agreement between Turkey and Syria we mentioned.
Right, the one that cut through the region.
Exactly. It sliced Kurd Dagh in two. The northern part went to Turkey, becoming part of Kilis province. The southern part stayed in French Mandate Syria.
And you mentioned earlier this boosted Afrin's importance.
Absolutely. Afrin City, which was in the Syrian part, suddenly became the main administrative and economic hub for that southern section. It basically took over the role Kilis used to play for the people south of the new border.
So the border reshuffled the local power dynamics.
Completely. And you can find French Mandate maps that show this Jebel Khord Qaza existing on the Syrian side.
Okay, fast forward again. Syria gets independence in 1946.
Right.
What happens to the Syrian part of Kurd Dagh leading up to 2010?
That Qaza of Kurd Dagh, or Jebel Khord, it transitioned pretty directly into becoming the Afrin district Manakwet Afrin within the Aleppo Governorate of Independent Syria.
And Afrin City stayed the center.
Yes, Afrin remained the administrative center. There was an interesting moment in 1977, Decree 1580, where the government officially tried to rename the district Jebel al-Uruba.
Mountain of Arabism.
Yeah. But honestly, despite the official decree, people mostly kept using Afrin and even Kurd Dagh in everyday conversation and often in practice.
So the official name changed, but the common usage didn't fully follow.
Not entirely, no. The old names had deep roots.
Okay, this is key for our goal today. What were the actual administrative subdivisions within the Afrin district before 2010 and the specific towns and areas that made it up?
Right. So pre-2010, Afrin district was divided into seven sub-districts. They're called Nawahi, singular Nahia.
Seven sub-districts. Okay, what were they?
You had the Afrin Nahia with Afrin City as its center, naturally. Then Bulbul Nahia, centered on Bulbul Town.
Okay.
Jindairs Nahia, center Jindairs. Raja Nahia, center Raho. Shiran Nahia, center Shiran. Sheikh al-Hadid Nahia, center Sheikh al-Hadid.
Got it.
And finally, Mabatli Nahia, with Mabatli Town as its center.
Afrin, Bulbul, Jindairs, Rasho, Shiran, Sheikh al-Hadid, Mabatli. Seven Nawahi.
Those seven, yes.
So if someone asks, what towns were definitely in Syrian Kurd Dagh before 2010, we can point to Afrin City as the main hub, and then these six other sub-district centers.
Exactly. Those are the key administrative centers within the district. But remember, surrounding these towns were something like 360 villages as well.
Wow. 360?
Yeah. A lot of small villages dotted across the mountains. And it's worth remembering, while the area was majority Kurdish, these villages also included populations of Yazidis, some Arabs, Turkmen, and Alevis too. It wasn't monolithic.
Right. Important context. Okay, let's try and synthesize this then. To be absolutely clear for everyone listening, pre-2010 Syrian Kurd Dagh, what was it geographically and administratively? What was in, what was out?
Okay. Geographically, it's that highland area we described, nestled between the Afrin River on the east and south and the Aswad River on the west, just south of the Turkish border and the Intab Plateau.
Right, the physical space.
Administratively, and this is the most precise answer for Syria in that period, it was the Afrin district of Aleppo Governorate.
Defined by those seven sub-districts.
Defined specifically by those seven Nawahi we listed. Afrin, Bulbul, Jindairs, Raho, Shiran, Sheikh al-Hadid, and Mabatli, with Afrin City as the capital.
So, while historically, Kurd Dagh might be a broader concept stretching into Turkey.
And geographically, it connects across the border, yes.
For the Syrian state, before 2010, the Afrin district was Kurd Dagh for all practical administrative purposes.
That's the most accurate way to frame it for that time frame, yes. The district boundaries are the key reference point.
Ooh. Yeah. Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Ruzbash Anani. Let's take a quick pause for some chai.
Ah, perfect timing.
Okay, that chai was much needed.
Definitely.
So, let's just quickly wrap this up to bring it all together. When we talk about Kurd Dagh in Syria before 2010, we're essentially talking about the Afrin district, part of Aleppo Governorate.
Correct. Composed of those seven sub-districts, the Nawahi, Afrin itself, Bulbul, Jindairs, Raho, Shiran, Sheikh al-Hadid, and Mabatli.
With Afrin City right at the heart of it.
Exactly. And even though we know the history and geography connect across the border into modern Turkey, that 1923 line and Syria's own administrative setup really cemented the Afrin district as the defined territory of Syrian Kurd Dagh for the decades leading up to 2010.
Understanding this specific administrative reality seems crucial for making sense of anything that happened later.
It provides a really solid baseline, yeah. You need to know what the defined unit was before things started changing rapidly.
Hopefully that gives you, our listeners, a much clearer picture now of what constituted Kurd Dagh in that specific context.
It clarifies the map, so to speak.
It does. So now that we have this framework, thinking about those towns, those villages, the geography, What other questions does this raise for you about the region? What aspects now seem particularly interesting to explore further?